This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And a judge from Illinois made headlines across the nation this week after she ruled that former President Donald Trump should be taken off the ballot for the upcoming primary election. Illinois is the third state where Trump has been deemed ineligible. To talk more about the ruling and what it means, we are joined now to begin our Friday Politics Roundtable by Brendan Moore, the Illinois government and politics reporter for Lee Enterprises newspapers, which has the Herald and Review in Decatur, the Pantograph in Bloomington, and the Post-Dispatch in St. Louis. Brendan, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Glad to be back, Brian.
So this case revolves around the 14th Amendment. We had a long discussion on this a few weeks back, but the 14th Amendment and Trump's role in the January 6th Capitol insurrection, and that is actually the name of the clause, the insurrection clause. Can you just remind us what that says, how that applies to this case that we're talking about today?
Right. So basically, the 14th Amendment was one of these Reconstruction amendments that came after the Civil War. And it was put in place to essentially prevent former Confederates from returning to office post-Civil War. So basically, it says that if you commit an insurrection, you tried to overthrow the government, you shouldn't serve in office. And obviously, this relates to former President Trump because the January 6th attack on the Capitol that many would call an insurrection, and many believe he had a hand in inciting that. And so you have several cases around the country of groups trying to knock the former president and current Republican candidate off the ballot in 2024, citing that that insurrection clause under the 14th Amendment.
Yeah. And, you know, that's an interesting point, because I think that often when you see the talking points that people put out about these things, you heard this from the Freedom Caucus here in Illinois, that this is a liberal judge, Cook County judge. But I mean, this is a case that came up through the system, the same case that was before the State Board of Elections a month or two ago, right?
Right. So basically, this came before the State Board of Elections in January, and they ruled unanimously that basically it was not essentially that they didn't think that Trump didn't commit insurrection, is that they just did not think they had the authority to make that judgment, and they thought a court was a better venue for that. And obviously the judge in this case, a Cook County Circuit judge, found that they erred in not removing him from the ballot. Obviously now it's going to work its way through the court system, and you know, because obviously the ruling happened, but a stay was immediately placed on it, and you know, now it's gonna, a stay remains until a higher court gives some resolution on this question.
What was the judge's reasoning here?
You know, the judge in tossing him from the ballot, she basically cited the body of evidence that was presented in the case that went before the Colorado Supreme Court, that basically they outlined the challengers in that case outlined the former president's role on January 6th, and the court there deemed that it was enough evidence to show that the former President Trump engaged in insurrection and should be tossed from the ballot. So the judge used that framework and the analysis also from the hearing officer in the State Board of Elections to come to the conclusion that the former president engaged in insurrection. Obviously, that's up for interpretation. The case in Colorado is now before the U.S. Supreme Court. Oral arguments were heard in February, and a ruling there is expected soon. And that could render this challenge here in Illinois moot as well, presuming that the question that is addressed relates to the 14th Amendment. So We will see kind of how it plays out in the coming weeks, but the former president does remain on the ballot in Illinois until as long as that stay is in place. And the courts don't always move very quickly, so it appears like he will be on the ballot when voters go to the polls on March 19th.
What reactions have you been hearing to this ruling?
I think it's the pretty typical reaction of Republicans. Obviously, are outraged. They would call it election interference. Several put out statements basically saying they stand with President Trump. But obviously, you have folks that agree that we all saw what happened on January 6, 2021, and. And many believe that the body of evidence is clear that the former president played a large role in that tragic day. Although there are Democrats that I would say that are a little bit more moot on this because many believe that the former president should be beaten at the ballot box and not disqualified based on a Civil War era clause in an amendment. A lot of outrage on the Republican side, but obviously, again, he remains on the ballot for now. I guess it just more campaign fodder for at least for the time being.
Yeah, and that is a point worth emphasizing. So the judge, Judge Porter, did put a hold on her decision. So this doesn't change anything for the ballot. There was another point I saw somewhere that I thought was interesting, which is, the real vote for president in Illinois are the ones cast for delegates at the conventions, not the actual name at the top of the ticket. Can you talk more about that aspect of this?
Right. So obviously, when voters go, and I should say when they go to the polls, many have already gone to the polls because early voting has been open since February 8th. But you vote on delegates that you send to the national political conventions, and they're the ones that actually vote on the major party nominations for president. And so you have a lot of Trump delegates that are on the Republican ballot, and if voters vote for those delegates and they go to the convention, there's nothing stopping them from voting for former President Trump, regardless of what happens to his actual spot on the ballot. It is kind of I guess it's about appearances in a sense, because even if the former president gets disqualified, is not technically on the ballot, his delegates will be. And when they go to Milwaukee this summer to vote, they will be free to vote for President Trump, and they will.
All right, final question. What are you going to be watching for from here in this case?
Honestly, I'm going to be watching for the Supreme Court because this is going to go to the appellate court in Illinois, and perhaps it could go to the Supreme Court after that. But I think there's a general sense that the Supreme Court is going to rule pretty quick on this in the Colorado case, and that will provide some clarity for the situation here in Illinois and also in Maine, where the Secretary of State in that state also disqualified Trump from the ballot. So it's kind of a race to see which court system I guess rules first, but my guess is that voters will be able to cast their ballot for former President Trump in a few weeks. He'll be on the ballot regardless because they can't reprint ballots this late. But my guess is that it'll count because there'll either still be the stay or the Supreme Court will provide some clarity and resolve this case for everybody once and for all.
All right. Brennan Moore covers Illinois government and politics for Lee Enterprises. Thanks for sharing your reporting with us today on the 21st show.
Thanks for having me on, Brian.
And listeners, if you are interested, January 22nd is when I had that conversation with Vikram Amar, professor at the U of I College of Law, where we took a deep dive into the 14th Amendment and this case or this sort of legal argument, if you want to check that out on our website, 21stshow.org. And let me remind you, this is the 21st show. A lot has been happening in the national political scene. With us to talk about that, as always, is Linda Kenyon, who covers the Congress for Illinois Public Media. Linda, happy Friday. Welcome back to the program. And Linda, are you muted? Or are you with us?
I am here.
That's all right. let's dive right into it then, because this week a lot of the national attention has been focused still on in vitro fertilization, IVF. One of our Illinois senators, Tammy Duckworth, has had a big role in the congressional response to this. She introduced legislation she says would have ensured access to IVF in every state. This is, of course, after that Alabama Supreme Court ruling effectively that embryos are children, which put a stop to IVF treatments there. Can you just talk briefly about why this is a personal issue for Duckworth?
Yeah, Senator Tammy Duckworth is, as you all know, a former military vet. Well, she is a current military veteran. She formerly served in the military. She was seriously wounded while fighting for the United States. She is an amputee. She has limited use of one arm, and she is in a wheelchair. She has two prosthetic legs, and she has never let that slow her down. She did say, however, that when she was introducing this bill regarding IVF, that the fact that she had fertility issues she had a miscarriage was more painful to her than any wound she suffered on the battlefield. And she used IVF treatments, and she has two daughters. And she felt that the Alabama Supreme Court ruling was further evidence about, as she said, that first the red states are taking away IVF, with following Alabama's lead. She says, and then they're going to come for other things such as birth control or any of those other hot button issues. And she said that that there is no reason why there should be a ban on IVF treatments. Now, why would there be a ban? Well, the Alabama Supreme Court ruling stated that frozen embryos are children under the law. Therefore, some of the IVF procedures that are necessary to help families get pregnant is that would require, in some cases, selective elimination of certain embryos. And sometimes, because these frozen embryos are so delicate, during the thawing out process, they can sometimes be damaged and therefore rendered no longer able to be used in an IVF procedure. But if frozen embryos are dedicated or designed, or I should say labeled as children, then the fertility clinics, the doctors and all the staff that participate in this process could then be held accountable, civil and criminal charges for destroying children. So Duckworth was trying to head that off and trying to have a federal law allowing access to IVF treatments.
Yeah, and now, so she introduces this law. She tries to get it fast-tracked through the Senate through this process called unanimous consent. We don't have to get into the weeds on that, but a Republican senator, mm-hmm. Cindy Hyde-Smith of Mississippi, blocks it. And yet you do hear Republicans who seem to be worried and acknowledging that this is not politically great for them with the mass public in America. Where does this leave things for this potential federal legislation here?
Well, the Mississippi Senator, Cindy Hyde-Smith, who blocked Senator Duckworth's bill, she said that there were too many poison pills in the bill. She said it would legalize human cloning. It would legalize commercial surrogacy, including for young girls without any parental involvement. She said it would legalize gene editing, designing babies, designer babies. And she said it would lift a federal ban on the creation of what she called three-parent embryos, to which Duckworth said that was a total misinterpretation of the bill, saying it doesn't force anyone to seek reproductive technology. It doesn't force anyone to offer it. It doesn't force anyone to cover it. It simply says you have a statutory right if you choose to pursue assisted reproductive technology. And so the bill is dead. And the next situation is, I think we're going to have to see what the courts do, because in Alabama, despite that Supreme Court ruling, the state legislature just took up the process of carving out an IVF exception to the Alabama Supreme Court ruling. Now, that may, again, lead to some legislative challenges, some legal challenges. Other states may follow as well, but Republicans who say they are very much pro-life are in a very tough spot with this situation because it's very hard to sort of square that circle about IVF treatments.
Yeah. Well, that is something we will continue to follow as it plays out. Just about a minute left. I do want to mention another sort of momentous piece of political news this week, and that is Senator Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader. He's led it for the Republicans there for 17 years. He's announcing he's stepping down from that role effective in January. There will be a vote on his successor in November. Can you just briefly say, how does he reckon with the fact that really his entire approach to politics seems increasingly out of step and unwelcome in the Republican Party?
Yeah, McConnell is going through a bit of a transition personally and professionally. He stated when he announced that he's going to leave his leadership role, he said, you cannot beat Father Time. He's 82 years old. And he has had some health issues, but he's also had a lot of political pushback, especially from the most conservative wing of the Republican Party that they he refers to as the MAGA Republicans. And they have been very angry with him on various occasions, not the least of which is that he has said things against Donald Trump in the past. So they are now hoping that there'll be somebody to replace him. And right now it looks like the three Johns are running for his seat. John Thune of South Dakota, John Cornyn of Texas, and John Barrasso of Wyoming are all the three top possibilities running for his seat. John Cornyn has already said he's interested.
All right. Well, we will have to follow up on that another week. Linda Kenyon, good to talk with you as always, briefly though it may be. Thanks for being with us today on the 21st show.
You're welcome.
More to come after a short break. Please stay with us.